Scary Stories
from a Cat in the Dark.
Hello and welcome to Scapey Stories from a Cat in the Dark. My name is Jordan D. White and we have a very special episode today. We have, of course, the third part of our Friday the 13th series in which Scape is going to be telling the, you know, part three of Friday the 13th, hence what I just said. And we have with us a champion debater. 100 episodes ago on the Cast and Wax podcast, you heard him win Debatatorium 2006 by convincing everyone that there is a god, Mr. Lord Zest.
Thank you. And I'm not just a champion debater, I'm a champion of fashion as well.
That is probably true. I don't know how you champion fashion, but...
because God is on my side.
Oh, well, that I guess that's how you won the debate. So there you are. But Scape.
Yes, Dad, yes.
Are you ready to tell this bone-chilling story?
Oh, yeah, I'm very ready. And this one, let me tell you, your zest. This Friday the 13th for the story I'm about to tell you, you know?
Oh, yes. I think I've heard of it in my history textbooks. Yes.
Okay, well, it's in 3D. Okay.
Oh, I see. You don't have 4D yet, do you? Or even 5D?
No, but it's in 3D. That's more than most stories are in.
Most stories in your time.
Well, yeah, that's what I said. So, here we go. Friday the 13th, Part 3, by Martin Kittrasser and Carol Watson. Okay, so, like, once upon a time, there was, do you remember, if you saw the other movies, which you probably didn't, but I'll tell you, there was a guy named Jason Voorhees. He was a caring person. He killed a lot of people.
Oh, he's a caring person?
No, caring. Kill. I will kill you like that.
That's nice of you to care for me, but I really don't need it, Scape.
Murder.
To act as a mother towards these... kids, oh, this is a very heartwarming tale. I'm very happy.
No, he takes a knife and he sticks it in people's guts and he makes them dead.
That's not very caring.
No, it's caring.
Yeah, it's closer to killing them.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, yes. He is a killer. And what he does is he cares about people. The reason he does it is because a long time ago, he was at a camp when he was a kid and he drowned. But I guess he didn't because he grew up and now he's angry and he kills people at the camp. Okay, so at the end of part two, they thought that he was dead, but he didn't get dead. So what happens is he escapes.
Oh, so he's like a Schrodinger's cat, in other words. Dead yet not.
Well, kind of. They all think he's dead, but he sneaks away and he goes to a little store where people sell some food. And the guy who runs the store is like, hey, wife, do what I say all the time. I'm a jerk. And then he eats some of the food. And then he puts it back to sell it. He's not very good. But then what happens is that's okay because Jason comes in and goes, I kill you. And he kills him. And his wife, both dead.
Well, at least he gave warning by coming in and saying, I will kill you now.
He didn't say...
I mean, most gentlemen are not that, orderly in their murdering processes.
Well, he didn't say, I will kill you. Really, because he mostly doesn't say anything ever, but his actions spoke louder than his words, and he said, with his actions, I will kill you because they were dead from it.
I can respect that, actually. A man of few words.
Yeah, he says, I think...
Man of action.
0 words.
I can tell he's the hero of the story.
Well, I wouldn't say that. So, he steals some crows, and he killed the people at the store. He killed the dude with a meat cleaver in his head, and he killed the guy's wife who was bad.
Wait.
Also with a needle for her eye in 3D. Don't forget.
I suppose I should be scared, but...
Oh, yeah. Because it was 3D, so it's like, oh, gosh. What if that needle pokes you in the eye? What about that?
I would be more scared.
Yeah.
If I was looking at this in 60 and the needle was coming at me, because then you truly understand fear.
Well, but what if it was 3D? It would still get your eye.
The people of the future are just not afraid of 3D things anymore.
Well, trust me. It's bad. So... meanwhile, okay, there's a girl named Chris, and she's like going on a trip with her friends, and she goes, hey, friends, hey, boyfriend, that she's with her boyfriend. She says, hey, boyfriend, I remember a couple years ago, about a couple years ago, I was at the same place we're going to, the same camp we're going to, and a dude attacked me in the forest, and he was ugly, by the way, Jason secretly is ugly, okay? Hmm. A dude attacked me, he was ugly, and now I'm scared, but that was years ago. So what are the odds that it would ever happen again? Pretty low, I imagine. And so I'm going to go back and conquer my fear. Do you understand about that?
I'm a man that lives without fear.
Okay, well, imagine you've had fear.
Such an old 20th century invention, fear.
No! It's always a thing. Fear. There's a guy trying to kill you. He's ugly. How about that? He's ugly.
Okay, ugly people do scare me quite a bit. Well, they don't so much scare me as they make me feel sad, for they are truly inferior beings.
Well,
and I wish I could help them out and bring them up to my level.
Well, no, that's not how it works. So, all the friends, there's a bunch of them, guys and girls, both. And they're going on this camping trip to a cabin. And a couple of them go into the store on the way there. And they're like, hey, we want to buy some stuff at the store. What do you think about that? And you know who they see is a bunch of tough guys. Like, three. Two tough guys and one tough girl.
Both are ruffians.
Yeah, but they were ruffians. And they had motorcycles, okay? And so...
Oh, do they engage in regular fisticuffs?
Oh, yeah. I think. Is that when you use your fist on your cuffs?
No, it's usually been, well, a brutish scallywag.
They didn't have tails to wag.
They're a garrulous sort of people.
They didn't eat their gruel. No. They were motorcycle peepers who were tough, okay? And so they're like, hey, get away from our motorcycles. And this dude, Sherry, he's a guy, and his name is Sherry, okay? And he's like, oh no, I accidentally knocked over your motorcycles. And they went bang, 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 knock over. Do you know how that goes? And the tough guys are like, we are going to kill you, Sherry. And Sherry's like, everybody go run! And they all ran, and they get in their car, and they drive off as fast as they can. Because they want to get away from the tough guys. And they do. Except, secretly, okay, the tough guys get on their motorcycles and follow them, okay? And what nobody knows is that... Do you remember Jason Voorhees from the beginning? He's hiding in the barn of the cabin that they are going to.
Is he still ugly?
Oh, yeah. He's real ugly. He's got a bag over his head, I think. Or maybe he took it off. I think he has a bag over his head because he's ugly and he has a hole that he can look out of.
You see, in my time, when people are ugly, we just simply exile them from the cities. That way we don't even have to worry about this dreadful bag situation.
I think they would, like... to exile Jason because he keeps killing. The police are chasing him. They're like, hey, we're gonna arrest you because you kill people. So he's in the barn, okay? And the kids, the young people, they are going to the cabin and they're like, hey, we're gonna hang out. We're gonna, you know, do some drinking and do some smoking and maybe smooching a little bit. And the tough guys are following them and the tough guys are showing up and the tough guys are like, we're gonna make them pay, if you know what I mean, because they are jerks. So they're sneaking around and they start sneaking around in the barn, okay? And Ritter, do they expect that guess who's in the barn? Do you remember that I said who's in the barn?
Yes, Jason.
Yeah, he's like, I will kill you. And he kills them. First he uses a pitchfork and he's like, stab it in your neck. In 3D. In 3D.
Wait, in this particular scene, he announces that his intention to kill them before he kills them.
He only speaks for killing by doing killing.
Very unsporting.
So imagine if you saw someone take out a pitchfork and stick it in your neck and kill you, you'd be like, I think what they're trying to say is, I'm killing you.
I'm not sure if I'd be able to see someone sticking a pitchfork through my neck.
Yeah, you just look down a little bit.
Well, usually by the time it goes through my neck, I'm not going to be able to see much of anything anymore.
Okay, but what if I filmed it with a camera and showed it to you on a video?
I'd still not be able to see it, I'd be dead.
Oh, right. Well, if I did it live...
Yes, I suppose that could work. So can you at least be sporting about it and say, I will kill you before you do it?
No, that's what he's thinking. He's thinking, what if I kill them? And he does. So he does pitchfork through the neck of one. Then he does a pitchfork through the body of another, okay? Then another one comes in and goes, hey, where's my friends? Oh, they're dead. And then Jason goes, hook-a-bop-bonk, and, you know, smashes that person over the head.
Wow, what a smashing rallying cry there. Hop-a-bonk-bonk.
Hop-a-bonk-bonk is what he did. Right on the, head, boom, ow, like that.
Did he shout that out as he...
He basically basically doesn't shout out anything, but it's a mental thing, and it's in 3D.
Oh, I see. This is actually a 5D film, and you can see his thoughts as he makes his kills.
I am illuminating his thoughts in your ears right now.
How did you people get by without 5D?
I just have 1D, 2D, 3D, that's it. Done. So those people are dead. Oh, but you know what? I forgot to say. You know what they did? Do you know how... You know how sometimes people are thirsty, right? And they use a little plastic thing in their drinks? I don't ever do this.
Oh, I love those little plastic umbrellas. They're very smashing and fabulous.
No, not umbrellas. Like a little tube.
Oh, straws.
Yeah. They did like a straw, but they did it like in their gas tank.
Oh, they stuck a straw in his gas tank.
And then I guess they drank it. I don't know. Not Jason's, in the kids' gas tank. They were like, hey, we will drink the gas. So they don't have no gas anymore. But they don't know that. So those tough guys are all dead, okay? They're dead. So, yeah, that's what the sound was. And so then the night is falling, okay? And it's getting dark. And Jason is still just kind of going around spying on everybody. He's like, hey, what's everybody doing? I'm going to watch. And maybe later I'll kill them if I feel like it. So that's what he's thinking. So the girl who got attacked 2 years ago, her and her boyfriend are like, we're going to go for a walk in the woods. What do you think about that? And Jason is like, I'm not going to go follow them. I'm going to stay with these other kids. And so one dude, is like, hey guys, I'm going to go out to the poop room outside and I'm going to poop.
But also,
they have a poop room outside. I mean, you're in the room inside, but the room is outside of the house. You know, it's like if you put your litter box out in a different litter house. That's what they did. So he goes out. Yeah, he goes, I'm going to go poop in it, and I'm going to smoke something that you're not supposed to smoke. It's against the law. Okay, bye. And he does. And while he's in there, do you know what happens? Somebody starts going, a-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum, on the walls, a-bum-bum-bum. And he's like, hey, quit it. Who's doing that? Bum-bum-bum-bum, bum-bum-bum. He looks out, and there's nobody there. Nobody's there. But I think it was probably Jason. But he doesn't know that. So, then a little bit later, the dude Sherry, who is like the big fat dog guy, he's like, hey, he puts on a wetsuit and a hockey mask and gets a spear gun that shoots a stick out people. And he goes out and goes, whoa. And he's like pretending that he's scary. And the girl is like, you are not scary. You are a jerk. I don't like you, Sherry. Why don't you just get away from here? Because you suck a bit. So, Sherry's like, oh, everybody's mad at me because I play funny jokes, but they don't like funny jokes. And then Jason goes, oh, kill, slits his throat, he's dead. Sherry's dead.
Did he make a hubba bunk bunk sound?
No, because it was his throat, so it's like, slick, like that.
Very imaginative.
Yeah. And then the blood is coming out, and Jason thinks with his brain, he thinks, hey, I just killed this kid, but he's got a hockey mask and I'm ugly, so why don't I take his hockey mask and put it on my ugly face so I don't have to wear a bag anymore? Bags are stupid, but I would wear a hockey mask. Nobody could see how ugly I am. How about that? Pretty smart. He does it. So he walks back out with the hockey mask on, and the girl that Sherry played a joke on sees him, and she's like, Sherry, I already told you that you're not scary, and you're not funny, and you're a dick, so how about that? And Jason is not Sherry. And Jason goes, oh, why don't I actually shoot her with the actual spear gun for reals? It goes right into her eyeball, and she's dead.
Oh, that is so barbaric.
Yeah, 3D also.
That is just plain primitive 3D.
Yeah, but in her eye. So, Jason is like, you know, I think it's about time. I'm imagining what he says to himself in his head. I think it's about time to kill pretty much everybody. So he walks into the house, and there's a dude and a girl, and they're doing it. And he's like, oh, they're doing it. That's not so good, in my opinion. So,
oh, don't tell me he's one of those prudes.
I think a little bit, yeah. He's like, why do people always have to be doing it? And so he kills them usually. So they do it, and then the girl goes, I'm gonna go into the shower. And the guy's like, I'm gonna walk on my hands upside down because I'm silly. And Jason is like, this is stupid. And so he chops the upside down guy in half right in half. Kashluk! In the middle. Dead. Cut in half. Then the girl comes out of the shower and she's like, hey, where's my boyfriend? I'm gonna sit on this hammock, I guess. Oh! Stabbed through the hammock. Into the body. Out the body. Dead. That's what happens to her. Then Jason, I guess, decides to be sneaky. And he's like, oh, you know what? You know what people won't be expecting is if the power goes out. So he goes and makes the power go out in the basement. And one of the other dudes who is not dead and doesn't know about all the dead people. Actually, it's the same guy who was doing the pooping before. He's like, oh, I'll go downstairs and turn on the electricity, I guess, because something's wrong with electricity. Oh, Jason grabbed my head and smashed my face into the circuits and I'm electrocuted and I'm dead.
Wow, for a dead person, that's a very descriptive thing to scream in your final moments.
I think he dies right when he says the word dead, right? And I'm dead. Right then, dead.
But still, that's a very descriptive thing to say in your final moments.
But it's all true. It's all true.
Well, no one can argue with that.
He got electrocuted. Jason did it. So then, there's one girl left in the house, I guess. And Sherry, remember Sherry with the throat got cut? He stumbles in and he's like, I'm not dead yet. Okay, yeah, I'm dead now. And he dies. And the girl's like, what? What happened to Sherry? Are you really dead for reals? And Jason is like, I'll show you by making you really dead for reals too. And he stabs her to death and she dies. Okay, so at this point, Jason has killed everybody. He killed the tough guys. He killed everybody in the house. So all that's left is the two people who went for a walk, the boyfriend and the girl who he attacked 2 years ago. Do you remember that? It's true. So they come back and they're like, hey, wait, everybody's gone and the power's out. What's going on? Why don't we split up and look around to find them?
Personally, I myself am a big opponent of the buddy system. I feel like you could just be much more efficient if you have just as many vulnerable people going at it alone as possible. You cover so much more ground so much faster.
That's what they're thinking. We will be able to see more things if we see them separate. So what happens is the boyfriend goes off and Jason pops out and goes, he does this. He just does it. He grabs his head with his two hands and he squeezes his head so hard that his eyes pop out and he dies. And it's in 3D and that's scary.
To you, perhaps.
It's scary to everybody with eyes. You've got eyes. What if they popped out?
Granted, it's not something I think about on a regular. Well, usually just when I first wake up in the morning, I just think to myself, what if my eyes pop out this morning?
You do?
I thought everyone did.
Oh, no, I never thought about that until I saw this movie. Huh. What would you do if your eyes popped out?
I think I'd just go on to die at that point.
There'd be no more fashion.
There wouldn't be any more fashion.
For you. You could
for anyone. There is none without me.
No, you could be like, the new fashion is to smell good.
I like the way you're thinking, Kat. Move on.
Okay, so his eyes pop out, he died. So then Jason goes, okay, just one person left, the girl, and he picks up an axe, and he's like, I'm gonna kill you with an axe. And she's like, oh my god, Jason is here. And she runs away, and she knocks over a bookshelf on him, and he's like, ow. And then she stabs him in the leg with the knife that he used to kill somebody earlier, and he's like, oh, I'm angry. And she bashes him with a yog, and he's like, ah. So she gets away, and she's in the van, and she starts up the van, and she gets to driving, but then it's like, the van goes, I'm out of gas. They stole all the gas. And she runs out of gas. So she's like, okay, I can't get away. So she runs into the barn to hide in the barn, and Jason comes into the barn, and he gets his machete, and he's like, gonna kill her. He's like, this is what it's gonna be. I'm gonna kill you, okay? But she smacks him on the head with a shovel. Okay, and then she ties a rope around his neck and she kicks him out the window and he's like, and he got hung out of a window on a rope by the neck. And she's like, oh good, he is dead. That is good, because I do not want to die. I'm glad he's dead. Here's the problem with that thing. He's not dead. And he grabs the rope and in order to get the rope off his head, he has to lift up his mask. And she's like, that ugly face is the ugly face of the ugly person who attacked me 2 years ago. What are the odds that this will happen to me again? And so Jason gets away from the rope and he grabs a machete. And he's, oh my gosh, do you remember the guy that Jason hit over the head with a bunk bunk, the tough guy?
Yes.
Yeah, he didn't die. And the tough guy jumps out and starts attacking Jason because he's like, oh, you're gonna hit me on the head while I'll, you know, try to kill you. And Jason's like, you can't kill me. And so he's chopping up the tough guy, but for this time, the guy is for real dead. Chop. But then Chris, the girl, is like, I have a sneaky idea. While he's chopping that guy, I would take the axe and I would chop him. And she hits him in the head, okay, with axe. In the head, in 3D, with axe, killing him. And he falls on the ground and he's dead. So then, Chris goes, huh. Well, everybody is dead, so I think I will get into a canoe and go to sleep, and then I will drift out into the middle of the lake. What do you think about that? And she wakes up in the middle of the lake and goes, huh, I'm in the middle of the lake. And she sees Jason out on the shore, and he's coming for her, and she's like, no, no, this can't be true, no, no. And then, jump out of the water, is Jason's dead mother, jumps out of the water and grabs her and pulls her into the water. And then she wakes up and she's like, wah, 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 wah. And really, none of that last part about the Jason's mother happened. And people are taking her into an ambulance going, she's crazy. Something is wrong with her brain. She's mental. But yeah, Jason's dead. There he is. He's dead. The end.
Oh, you'd have to be rather crazy and deranged to imagine that someone that ugly exists.
No, no, Jason existed.
Sure. Next they're gonna be coming for you if you're not careful.
No, the only part that was a dream was the part where she was in the canoe. The rest of it all was real.
I must say, when I go and kill an evil, homicidal, ugly madman, I myself would like to celebrate victory with a nice little placid canoe ride.
What, you do? For reals?
Of course. It's the only real way to get over one's bloodlust. Just simply get on the canoe, ride out to the middle of the lake.
Oh, so how many times did you do that?
I'd say 10 and a quarter.
Wow! You killed a lot of madmen.
Well, madmen and sometimes just madmen who are kind of ugly and maybe a few ugly ones.
Wow. So what do you do if there's no lake nearby?
I try to make sure that I stop my madmen close to lakes or rivers.
That's sensible.
It's the only fashionable way to dispatch the homicidal madmen.
Okay, so as I'm sure you can tell, okay, all scary stories have a scary moral to them.
Don't be crazy.
Well, that's a good one, but that's not, I don't think that's the scary moral of this one. I think the scary moral of this one is this. If you get attacked by some crazy killer, do not go back there, you dumbass.
But how are you going to get your rematch and your canoe ride afterwards?
All of her friends are dead and she's crazy, both. So that does not seem like a good thing for anybody involved.
Well, she probably just wasn't fashionable enough.
Everybody involved in this story ends up worse off because she went to the place where the crazy killer guy was. Don't do that!
So don't seek rematches?
No. Why would you do that? Somebody already beat you.
How do you win, then?
You just fight people you could beat. How about that?
There's no training montage. No. I mean, this was made in the 80s, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, but she wasn't going back to kill Jason. She was going back because she was like, I'm afraid of Jason, so I'm gonna go back so I'm not afraid anymore. That's stupid.
Oh, you see, her problem was she just had fear. Just stop having fear.
But then she still would have gone back!
No, because fear wouldn't have even entered into it, and she would have had no desire to go back.
I don't know. All I know is she got attacked by a crazy guy, and then she was like, I'm going to go back to the place where I was attacked by... No, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't do it. If I was saying to you, Rod Zest, hey, do you want to go back and have a debate against President Byron Samuels? You'd be like, no.
I'd be like, yes.
Why would you
he
do that?
He deserves a rematch.
No, you would give it Rose. He already beat you.
Then I shall become better and beat him. Do not bring up President Samuels in my presence.
But look, he already beat you one time.
I will engage in fisticuffs.
I don't understand. That's not a debate, first of all.
It's not a debate, because I've already won.
What? No, what? That doesn't make any sense. Dad.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Lord Zest. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But I do appreciate you being here. You are, as we've said, a champion debater, although not the ultimate debater.
I will have my rematch, Jordan.
Yeah?
Someday, somewhere, somehow, President Samuels will know the sweet taste of my vengeance.
Is that an official challenge?
Take it as you please.
All right. Well, maybe that's an official challenge. Hopefully everybody enjoyed Friday the 13th Part 3. Scape, what do you have to tell us about the next one?
Oh, I know what to tell you about the next one. On the next one, it's called The Final Chapter, Part 4 of, 11. So enjoy that.
How can it be the final chapter if it's Part 4 of 11? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know.
20th century.